AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear headed, full of energy and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop once a day before breakfast and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
How personalized can a financial plan be when it's created by one of those robo-advisors?
Plugging in standard algorithm to calculate insurance need and future wealth of random human client.
Robots don't know you. We do. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, getting to know you always comes first. Together, we'll create a financial plan based on your specific goals. Find a local Farm Bureau advisor at fbfs.com/protect. It's your future. Let's protect it.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
When I clock out of the hospital at 6 p.m., I'm not done for the night. That's when Gamer Nurse 40 clocks in, and she's got orcs to slay. Sure, I'm playing a 13-year-old in Scranton, but he's a level 53 mage with a filthy mouth, so I need to stay on top of my game. What'd you call me?
That's when I crack open a Heineken 00. Zero alcohol, but just as refreshing.
So I can focus on stealing his gold before his mom tells him it's bedtime. Take that, kids.
Heineken 00. 0.0% alcohol. Now you can. Must be 21 plus to purchase. Enjoy responsibly.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock.
A camel channel.
It's episode. Fuck. What episode is it? Does it matter? All of them.
It doesn't matter.
It's all of the episodes. Yeah. Today I'm joined by Ricky.
TSC, hello.
And John Bass.
Hi, mate.
How you doing, boys?
Good.
Definitely not racist in this country, are we?
No.
Did you watch football last night?
I did.
What did you think?
It was a great performance by England.
Yeah.
Against a Bulgarian side that's lacking in quite a bit
of quality.
Yeah.
Or in anything.
In anything.
We have a garbage. A lot of belief and idealism going on.
Yeah.
I mean, what they weren't lacking in is definitely how they felt.
What a shambles.
Definitely how they felt about the some of the black players in our team.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty strong on their views on, like, racial issues.
Do you think... where are you at with it currently? Because... Because there is an argument that it has... The kind of war against racism in football has moved on somewhat because of these three stages or three protocols in order to prevent racism from happening. And it would say that whereas previously it would kind of been brushed under the carpet with a minor fine, but now it became a huge talking point where it nearly come to the point where we walked off the pitch.
Yeah.
John, where are you at with it?
I personally don't think this new UEFA, FIFA protocol is enough. I think the players put on a brave face last night and they obviously had agreements between them about what they were happy with and what they were prepared to put up with. Me personally, I don't think it's far enough. I don't think that players in or people in any walk of life should essentially get two warnings to be racist to people. You wouldn't have that in an office. You wouldn't say, okay, if you're going to say anything racist today in the office, people, just you're going to get a warning. And then what we'll do is we'll all have like a cup of tea if you do it again. And then if you do it, like, we'll sack you.
Yeah, we'll have a 10-minute break of work where we all stare at you and discuss what you've done.
Yeah. But we'll let you carry on to see if you can actually, like, see the area of your ways.
Yeah, have we fixed your racism in that 10 minutes?
Yeah.
If yes, then go back to work and mind your own fucking business.
Yeah.
If no, then... we're all going to leave the office and leave you here.
Yeah, it's just not far enough, because I think that the thing that you hear all the time is, you know, there's no place for racism in the game and it's all about, like, football. I don't know why it's been held to a different standard. Like, we shouldn't accept it in any way, shape or form in society. So why do we have to give a 1-2-3-step process in a game of football? It should just be zero tolerance. If they hear it, I would preferably like Kane to take the team off and for our country to make a stand against these fucking pigs.
Yeah.
Sick of it, mate.
So I kind of with you there, mate, because history will remember this game as at best, the first step in a wider movement against this sort of behaviour from opposing fans, mainly in that kind of Eastern Bloc of Europe. And at worst, just a 6-0 win that was kind of marred by some bad chanting.
Mm.
But it kind of does feel like the first step to something better is all. Rick, would you have liked Harry Kane to have taken the team off?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it would have made a bigger statement. So, like, at the moment, we're talking about that the game was stopped twice and they nearly walked off. But, like, John has, you know, say that in an office environment that you get two counts and then, like, we'll discuss it properly is absolutely ridiculous. Like, anyone that would have made, like, a racist remark towards myself in the office, like, you expect it to be... You don't expect it to happen anyway, but for it to be, like, be tolerated and then we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then see how it goes again is absolutely ridiculous.
What I found amazing and life-affirming was a England support that has a history of doing and singing dubious chants.
Yeah.
Reacting to the Nazi salutes and the monkey noises from the Bulgarian fans with, you racist bastards, we know what you are.
Yeah.
Isn't that's almost like a seismic shift. I did not expect that at all. No. I did not expect England to get behind their players, specifically Mings and Sterling, and just have a backs against the wall attitude.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that at all. And there were, I'm not saying all of them were singing it, but there was just, you could hear it clearly on the telly.
Yeah.
And I just feel like that's a step forward too.
Yeah, for sure. I think what's important to kind of...
Bear in mind there have been a lot of white bloke some loot in there.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. The thing is that I think we have to put into context is, first of all, it's not the entire country of Bulgaria or even their football team. This was still a section of their fans. And in the same way as we have probably people in our fans, England fans, that in this country abuse players who look different to them.
We've seen it just exactly. Our last couple of seasons.
So it's just to make the point that we're not saying, like, now all of a sudden racism's over in English football. Mm. But I do think that it was encouraging that actually the major voice, the majority voice in the England support was in support of our own players and that we're not going to tolerate racism. So I think that's where we are as a country. We have, like, a minority of people who have horrific and abhorrent views on race. But in the main, people are well-intentioned and are trying to kind of see past that and move forward together. And so it's just a shame that there's still horrible people out there in these countries and they're not getting punished properly for it.
There was a census in Bulgaria in 2013 that showed that 98.7% of them are racist.
Take it all back then. Fuck them.
Yeah. Really?
No, I just made that up.
Fucking hell, I was going to say that. It's mental.
You're bad about the government putting that out. We're really fucking racist. We've got to do something about this.
On the tourist board, like, white people, you're on holiday? We're 98% racist.
Come enjoy. On in. yeah, but I mean, on the performance, and particularly Winks and Harry Kane, I know that isn't the talking point, but both looked really good. Like, yeah. They were happy to be away.
Yeah, and Kane...
the supplier.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That was quality.
Was it three assists and a goal?
Yeah, and I was starting to feel a bit bad for him because he had a couple of opportunities where he should have scored.
Yeah. And there were a couple of kind of passes that just hit a toe of the defender you might have buried. He hit the post as well, did he?
He did hit the post, yeah.
He hit one at the keeper.
And then, he scored, so I was happy that he got on the score sheet as well.
That was erection section, that goal. Yeah, and it was like, he's turn of pace and he looks fucking fit.
Yeah,
and now, I mean, hopefully we can fucking get the best out of him then, because he just looked happy playing, and like this, he was dropping deep and seemed to be taking a joy out of, you know, kind of just being on the ball and creating chances rather than shooting from any angle. Do you see any kind of way that we might use him like that? Because the last few games he's kind of been isolated and number nine, that's kind of dropping. I mean, I guess you need the formation, don't you? You need Sterling next year as well.
Yeah, it helps.
But Son, I mean, isn't Sterling, but he could offer something similar.
Well, yeah, I think Kane's looked really good in an England side when he's got, like, a Rashford and a Sterling kind of either side of him. So, like, just rapid pace. People that can go, like, behind him and go into space. And he can drop that little bit deeper and kind of just get on the ball a bit more and be dangerous.
Mm.
We've got Lucas and Son, and we never play them as a three. So I'm not saying that that's the answer, because I don't know the reason we haven't played it.
Ricky absolutely fucking hates that every single time. My phone rings and he does his fucking balls. I'm so sorry, Rick.
Don't apologise to me. To the listeners.
Yeah.
I'm very sorry, listeners. It happens all the time. Innocently, it was just there. Yeah. I just forgot to do it.
We've got no episode number.
No.
The mic's been knocked over and now a phone call.
I was in Old Street today recording my drugs podcast, all right? I didn't have time to put together a proper running order, and T was very busy as well.
That's no excuse for your phone going off, though.
Well, I'm distracted and busy. I'm busy, all right? I'm just very, very busy.
He's a busy man.
What was he saying? Oh, yeah, like using Lucas Moura as a kind of overlapping and running into space for Kane's excellent vision.
Yeah.
Might be, I mean, maybe someone have a like, tweet Spurs.
Yeah, it's both together, because we would play Son like, up with Kane or Lucas up with Kane. We never actually play all three of them at the same time and like play Son and Lucas a little bit wider.
Mm.
I'm all around for it.
Like, and the way England were playing, it's like you've got. With Rashford and Sterling, you've got two players that are very hard to handle, and they're going to be running at you. So then, when you've got to try and their fullbacks, where they've got to try and guess the space that they're going to run into, and obviously they're going to get a run against as well. But that creates the space for Kane to drop deep and to have a crack from further out, or to either to push forward to get right into the box. And at the moment, at Spurs, it just feels like we've got Son there, but then on the other side, like, it just doesn't feel like they are like taking on players. Yeah, it just feels like there isn't that heart or that drive or that determination at the moment.
As I was walking up the stairs, I was listening to you having a chat with John, and you were talking like Spurs are known to be first
for everything, and we've had our first. What was you saying? Tell the listeners.
So no, I was just saying that you know, it was nice back in the day when we played against Wigan and we beat them 9-1. And you know, I was at the game, and there are many other firsts within our history.
First team to win European trophy.
First team to win a European trophy.
First team to win a cup. Cup and League double.
First team to win the actual UEFA Cup as well.
First team to float on a stock exchange. I think that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, the rest of football followed.
That's pretty good.
I think we were the first team as well to tie ribbons on the FA Cup.
Yeah.
So to carry on that tradition. And then we were both there to see Tottenham's heaviest defeat as well at home. Yeah,
the first time we conceded seven.
Yeah. So it's
not all fast are great.
No, they're not. But you know, to be a part of it.
Yeah, I mean, at least we got
tells
to
a
see,
story.
Yeah, we've got something to tell the kids.
The rich tapestry of Tottenham.
Rick, we've talked about this in the pod, but I haven't had a chance to talk through it with you.
I've heard it quite a few times.
How did we somehow manage to negotiate that performance and remain pretty okay?
Because I think we are both on a level understanding of that gallows humour.
Yeah.
Whereas we normally there's like when we've lost, you're always there to be like, hey, do you know what, like, there'll be another game, it's all right, it's fine. And of late it's been the other way around. Which is I've never quite had that. But when we were both there together, I think it was the occasion against Bayern Munich, the atmosphere was great. The first half we were brilliant, and then we kind of came undone. But then the huge unravelling in the second half, it was one of those things. Not to say that we laughed about it, but it was like the only thing.
What else
that
you do?
Exactly. I had nothing more.
We were fine, like during that massacre in the second half.
Yeah.
We were fine afterwards because we left each other, didn't we?
Yep.
And I rang John and said, are we going for this beer or not? And John was like, no, I'm going fucking home. I'm going home.
Yeah.
Brother's going home. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll go home as well. I'm walking home and I'm thinking, fuck, now I've got to process this on my own.
Yeah.
And then you popped up and saved me for another half hour.
Yeah.
But then the minute we split at White Hart Lane, then it all kind of started to unravel, didn't it?
Yeah.
And you started going like crazy on WhatsApp. And I'm like, Rick, what happened to the kind of the stoical kind of, you know, this shit happens kind of attitude? Soon as I left, he's like, we're fucking dead. We're done.
Yeah, I left to my own devices. That was it. Don't ever leave me on my own.
I mean, we don't live together. You had to tell your daughter off this morning, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
She keeps WhatsApping me.
She keeps stealing my phone, and then she's 8 years old, and she keeps WhatsApping Gal.
Yeah,
but just like chatting to him.
Pretending to be you.
On these Mrs.'s WhatsApp or his WhatsApp, I'll start getting these messages, and then it's like, hi, it's Ams. And then the last one was, hi, it's Ams. I'll text you tomorrow, and I was like, all right, Emily, that's good. And then she sent a picture of her earring, but you had to chastise her because it's not okay for 8-year-olds to be texting not strangers, because I'm not stranger, but just people,
and sending photos to them.
Yeah.
So it's just like, so I kind of had to have a stern word of her, because
did a lip quiver.
She did go.
She's never words. Like that was our way of like bonding.
I know, but the thing is, when I kind of. I was getting ready, as I was just about to fly out the door, my phone's vibrating, and it doesn't vibrate because I've turned all like WhatsApp messages on mute and stuff like that. So when I knew, I was like, fuck, like, who's that then? I saw it was you, and the first line was, is that then again?
Is that it again?
And I kind of looked up, and she was there in the corner of the sofa, but she had like a blanket over her.
Oh.
And I was like, have you got mum's phone? She was like, yeah. And then I said, what are you doing? And she was like, oh, I'm playing a game. I was like, give me the phone. And as soon as like she knew the jig was up then.
Yeah.
But I had to have a stern word of her. And then I had to have a stern word with my youngest as well to share the blame and just say, look.
But she hadn't done anything.
I was just saying that, you can't pick up someone's phone and just start messaging. If you say... Can I start messaging Gary?
Yeah.
Then I'd be like, yeah, I'll sit down with you and then just like crack on, but you can't just take people's possessions and just start...
And start texting out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I quite like the cut of her jib, to be fair. So how did your little one take to kind of being chastised for doing nothing?
It was a stern word, and it was, you're not to take the phone, wow, ever. And she was like, yeah, yeah, I know, but it weren't me. And I was like, all right, that's cool. That's fine, but I'm just telling you, you're both...
What kind of stern word do you think Pochettino would be giving to Jan Vertonghen and Toby Alderweireld this weekend? Because there are rumours that they are not going to start against Watford.
Yeah.
And Foyth and Davinson Sanchez are going to start. And this is off the back of Foyth having an absolute horror show for Argentina versus Germany. How would you feel?
Did Foyth have a horror show, didn't he?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah, like a really bad one.
Excellent. Oh,
God. Yeah.
So for me, I get where the stern words are going to be coming from, and I get that he needs to refresh the squad, and he can't do it by buying players coming in January. And I get he needs to reaffirm that he's the governor and what he says goes, and that he's not happy, and the balance of the team isn't right, and the mentality of the team isn't right. But to go full right, five players out, five players in, I think is a bit... I don't think it's a bit risky. It is bloody risky.
Do you reckon he'll go up to Jan Vertonghen and go, right, you need to stop letting in goals and falling over and being slow.
And getting black eyes.
And getting black eyes, right? And Toby, you just don't do what he's doing, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's going, well, I've been all right. I've been playing good. Yeah. I've done Lord of the Pings. And, so, like, it kind of feels like Toby's getting thrown under the bus for Vertonghen here, right?
Yeah.
Right now. Yeah,
it's very similar to my daughter's.
Well, exactly, that was the point. So you're doing Posh's role. Yeah. So if we lose against Watford, then you've done a terrible job dadding your kids. John, what do you think?
Well, to be fair, mate, so the last time I was on the pod, I was making a case for Jan, Toby and Ericsson. Just pay them what they want. Fuck it. Like, it's not our money. Just give them what they want. Since then, things have not gone well.
That is a terrible idea.
Yeah, it was an awful idea. And then I listened to the Bin Juice episode, which really did get me out of my ket hole of down on Spurs. And it actually got me thinking about, in the last few years, aside from like Champions League runs and those like amazing nights, what was like my favourite time in the last few years? And it was actually when Pochettino did his initial cull of like those more senior players, and he started just dropping like Mason and Bentaleb into the starting lineup, and Kane, and he just went, fuck it, I'm just going to get players who want to be here and caring about the club and passion, and just like went for youth. And so when there was a suggestion of like, fuck it, let's just get all of the older players out, keep the likes of obviously Kane and Son and those boys in the mix, I was a bit like, it got me a bit excited again. And I thought to myself, actually, it's mental and it probably won't happen.
I think,
but I'm up for it.
I think it could happen. I just think that as fans of the club, we're not there anymore.
Mm. Yeah.
We're not willing to see that. Because if he does do that, it's a very real risk that we don't qualify for the Champions League. If he does nothing, there's a real risk that we don't qualify for the Champions League. But it would show that there is a plan, and that the most important thing is that the players want to play for the club. Because right now, I'm not saying Jan Vertonghen and Toby Alderweireld don't want to play for the club, and I think Alderweireld is getting an unfair crack at the whip here, but he's getting lumped in. But I just think that it would be a statement, although, like you said, Rick, that statement would mean playing a season with Foyth and Sanchez as our two centre-backs. And Sessegnon Young as a kid coming in, and who knows at right-back? I mean, God knows.
So, like, in my thought process is like, so when you're just saying about Bentaleb...
But can it get any worse, though? Are we going to concede 10 goals in two games? Probably not. Oh, probably. Yeah, all right,
With Mason and Bentaleb, Winks, Kane, when they all came into the team, that they were like youth players. They hadn't had any like experience coming into the first team. And when it's like, right, boys, this is your chance. Fucking go seize it. It's like that mentality of like, you know, dying, chasing after that ball and doing everything you can. With Sanchez and Foyth, they're already integrated with the first team, so and they've been at the club long enough to know what their training's like and stuff like that, and how they need to behave and stuff. So with their mentality, they know that basically they're going to get a fair crack of the whip now because the other players and what's being reported. Are they going to be able to make that shift? And we are going to get to a point where if they do come in. And we do concede, we do lose and stuff like that. are we then going to completely disband that and go back to Jan and Toby? It seems a bit like a bit just throwing shit at the wall, see what's going to stick. Mm. But for me, I personally, if you are going to use Sanchez and Foyth, I'd probably go three at the back and have Toby being the kind of the stalwart, the experienced one, shepherding.
So who plays in the middle, Sanchez and then Foyth on the left?
Yeah.
So, I can't believe that Vertonghen has dropped in form so significantly, given how great he was last year. Surely the descent of a player can't happen in that short amount of time. Look at the game against Dortmund when he played left wing back, and he destroyed them.
Yeah,
you can't. Could it be that just Jan Vertonghen is in a poor form? He's in a rough period.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Could be that, couldn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
could be nothing to do with his attitude.
Yeah, it could be. It could be down to his attitude. But then when you go away for international, you get time away and stuff like that, and you come back and you just think, do you know what, man? The thing is as well, these players have got to think, yeah, even if they are, they've, essentially handed in their resignation and they're going to go off. And a lot of, people can hand in their resignation and be like, right, I've got 3 months left to work. I ain't doing fuck all, man, because I'm going to a new gaff anyway.
Yeah.
But, as far as I know, they haven't signed pre-contracts anywhere.
Not yet. They can't until January.
No, exactly. And they've got no... I don't know what's going on in their life, that there's a certainty at the end. But who's going to want to sign these players if there is this, kind of unbalancing of the squad and they're being disobedient
their attitude and
not playing as a team, because they're neither for,
And people are going to pick up.
Who though? If they want, which I think we all think they are looking for, their last pay packet, their last,
then they need to be
their
playing
last that. Chance of getting silverware, their last chance to. For a big club, I don't know, Barcelona, to sign them on a free because it's not going to cost them anything except from the wages, or anyone, you've got to be putting the work in now, man. You can't just be like, I've had great
seasons. Yeah, I don't think it is that. I don't think they're phoning it in. I just think that I've said it so many times, I don't want to go over it again, but they find it hard to be motivated by what's going on at the moment. Or, genuinely, he did slap Eriksen's mum's bum.
Yeah.
And that's what the impact has been.
Yeah, basically, it's going to be one kind of thing or the other, in the sense of it's either just he's just out of form or just past it. Like, you see it sometimes with players. I remember that season after Liverpool nearly won the title, and Gerrard, his leg's just gone. And it was like, the start of the season, it was like, he's done, he's over. And maybe that has happened to Jan, or maybe it is a case of these contract scenarios, which you've seen 100 times before. Players just don't perform. They either sign a new contract and continue to be shit, like Sanchez and Ozil, or they sign a new contract and they just get straight back into it. And it was just an attitude thing, but we're not going to know until it gets resolved one way or the other.
Just quickly on this, we're going to talk about one point in the trust meeting with the club, and then go back to the sales and assessing, because they're back in training. But it relates to what we're saying, because Daniel Levy spoke about how they tried to get players out of the club, key players out of the club, and more or less said that they're fouled, but he reiterated how difficult it is to get a transfer over the line. And he says in 90% of the instances, either a buyer could not be found for a player, or the player did not wish to join the club that expressed an interest in buying them.
So then that goes back to my earlier point of, like, if you're not playing to the best you can, or you are showing dissent or whatever, then the clubs that are coming in for you are going to be below your standard or whoever you want to go to. And if you are angling for that move, if you're not playing, then no one's going to come in for you. Like, I mean, Eriksen, as much as you want to read into it, he thought he was going to Real Madrid and it was going to be signed, sealed and delivered, and they never came in for him, as far as we know, or they couldn't work the money out, or whatever it may be. But it's like, if he's going to be continuing to turn in those performances along with the other players,
it's insane how poor.
How are they going to get those moves that they dream of?
And how's Pochettino going to legislate for players' form being so bad?
Yeah.
Like, Eriksen literally can't string a pass together. He can't make a 10-yard pass. And I'm exaggerating here, but the point is, his game is finding that vision. and he's been so good with that. But he can't string a pass together at the moment.
Yeah, and this is the wider issue for me, because when I was watching the Brighton game the other week, I was sitting there and I bumped into this other Spurs fan who was watching the game with me. And I just said to him when it went to 3-0, I went, I don't want this to happen, but I can see a world where if these results continue, he's going to get sacked. Mm. And this guy was like, I can't believe it. Like, I can't believe you're saying that. And I was like, well, look, I'm not saying I want him to be sacked. I'm just saying I can see that in modern football that happens, because it does happen. But actually, the context with our club's really specific in the fact that we can't get these basically rotten apples out. He's been like hamstrung by so many different issues that have enabled him to kind of basically got players who we rely upon being utter shite, like Eriksen and Yatton. And actually, he's not been able to refresh the squad for two transfer windows. And then going into this one, we tried to sell players to bring more players in and we couldn't do it. And that's what makes it really difficult for all of us to sit here and actually advocate, not that we are, for Poch to go. Because he's not getting a fair crack of the whip, and he hasn't done for two seasons.
It's a bit of a... We kind of then find ourselves in a good situation, because if it was those three players that we're trying to move on but couldn't, they're gone 100% at the end of the season, buyer or not. They are out of the club. So, you know, we might have lost some money in terms of transfer window, but these are problems that are being solved.
Reading between the lines with the Levy interview and what he was saying, and he was saying for the fans to get back behind Poch. And I think it was like this admission that he knew that maybe Poch had asked for these players to go and players to come in, and acknowledging how hard it is to get players in, that they wanted more of a refresh, not just the players we got in. They wanted more, but they couldn't get them over the line, maybe because they couldn't get the other three out of the club. So it wasn't like an admission as to say. The stick by the manager, he'll turn it around. It was like a collective. More of a collective, as to say, look, we know it's fucking hard getting people in and getting them out, but don't pin it on Poch, and don't pin it on me, and don't pin it on that person. It's a whole roundabout of circumstances.
We did a podcast with Daniel Gee, and he's a football lawyer, and he's involved in the kind of legal aspect of transfers happening. Go back and listen to it, because it's relevant all the time. It's about half an hour discussion about transfers and this sort of thing. And he said it is so difficult. There's so many variables in getting a player to join your club. Everything needs to align perfectly. And like 90% of the moves that clubs make for players cannot come off, because the other aspects of this deal, which they don't control, just are not playing ball.
Yeah.
And we were after everybody. And those last week, there was obviously the Dybala stuff, we know. Bruno Fernandes, that was an actual genuine link.
Yeah.
And these were in spite of Lo Celso and Sessegnon and Dembélé playing. So I think the club are acutely aware that we need to refresh the squad. And I think they probably even predicted how difficult this season would be, especially Poch, when he said, look, it's going to be painful, this process. But if there is a vision there, you can understand it. It's just whether or not fans are going to be able to give the club and Poch the patience to do it. And maybe they don't deserve it, because we are in a situation because of decisions that the major stakeholders in Tottenham either have or haven't acted on. There is an interesting note from the Trust. They said that not a single member has contacted the Trust to recommend that Pochettino be removed. But where are you with that? Does that surprise you, or are you kind of...
I think for you to actually go and make a recommendation to the Trust to say Poch needs to go, I don't know, that's quite an action.
Quite soon. Yourself,
yeah. But
it's not reflective of all Spurs fans. No. You've seen what some of them are like on Twitter.
Yeah.
Enoch out and Poch out, some of them.
Everyone out. Get out of the stadium.
Tottenham out.
Yeah.
everyone get out of the stadium. Tottenham out. out.
Yeah, all of them. Out.
Anyone who's openly gay, get back in.
I think, I don't know, man. Like, for me personally, like, for everything that has happened, the journey that we've been on with Poch, and who we think we have as a coach, and who he thinks he is as a coach, and everything that goes with it, I think it would be unfair to sack him after just a downwards kind of run
weak, basically.
And well, I mean,
Leicester as well, but we could have won.
Yeah, and you know, there's the last season where Champions League paper over the cracks, and we just about got back into the top four. You know, and all the stuff that's been happening is relative, like last season, this season, and it's tough to make those changes. But I think we should at least give him a fair crack.
I think he will. He'll get it. He's earned it. He's got the credit in the bank, hasn't he? Yeah. There is some good news, though, boys.
Yes!
Go on.
Lo Celso and Sesc Young are back in full training, or will be in full training next week.
Lovely.
After the Watford game, just in time to get their arse handed to them at Liverpool.
Lovely.
Yeah, it'd be great if Sesc Young starts that game and gets absolutely rinsed by Salah and his confidence is shot and never quite makes it as a Tottenham footballer or a footballer altogether. I think maybe he'll go into counselling after that game.
Yeah.
And Lo Celso just walk around going, what the fuck have I done? Yeah. Actually, he won't play. He'll be on the bench and Poch won't use him.
Too early.
It'll be March and Poch will be going, not ready.
Yeah.
It is good news, though, isn't it? Even like the Liverpool result, though. Did you agree with what we said last week? Like, he's got a funny feeling. Maybe we can come down and do something. Do you see where that comes from, though?
Yeah, I feel that about every single game that we're in.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, me and Rick, don't you remember when we were in the bell at the back? Me and Rick, before the game, were going,
Bayern.
We were like, I think we might do something. Rick's going, we can smash him up, boy.
Yeah.
And then it got to, when it went 5-2, I just thought to myself, I think me and Ricky might have been wrong. But yeah, I feel like this is what I'm saying. This time reminds me of that era of when Poch got rid of the old guard and was kind of regenerating things. Mm. And we were still getting shit results then, but I did feel like in the big games, oh shit, we're going to do something. And that's what it just feels a little bit like that.
Our first season, though, I feel like we finished like eighth or something. Yeah. I don't know, you might be wrong, but we did. Did we?
I think we were like, just like.
At pretty average, but it kind of felt like things were going all right.
Yeah.
But it was all going to be all right.
I was, as I often do, I've got loads of bookmarks on my Twitter profile that every time like you feel sad or low, you go back and watch. And like literally every other day, I'll watch the Tottenham Ajax game. And there's the highlights reel where there are no commentating. And it's just the roar from the crowd and stuff like that. Then there is with commentators. Then there is with, like going back to, I think it's BT Sport or whoever.
No filter, yeah.
And then there was another bit where it was at the end of the game and Rio Ferdinand's there. And he's saying, these players, this commitment, this mentality, this feeling, this togetherness within the club, you know, it's unbreakable. They'll never be able to... 2 months later, it's gone. And I was like, fuck, like, can it change that quickly? What's happened in that communication and what has happened
Ericsson, in that breakdown? Ericsson and Vertonghen, that's what happened. He split the squad. As he split open Ericsson's wife, he destroyed Tottenham.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I am right.
Yeah.
I watched that yesterday as well. The no filter thing.
Mate, so good.
Seriously, all they need to do before Watford is just play that game.
Yeah.
Just play that 10 minutes of the no filter. Because, like, that was unbelievable bollocks. Huge bollocks. Yeah. And if that doesn't get them up, the fact that they just literally achieved that 6 months ago, if that doesn't get them buzzing...
Mm.
Then they really do need to go, and we'll play any young player.
And even the no filter with Man City, I watched that one as well.
Yeah.
And it's like after the first half, and Gary Lineker was like, "Well, you know, it's a slow start to the game, wasn't it?" And they're all laughing. They're like, "I've never seen a game of football like this." And then afterwards, you know, the Ajax game as well. And it's like, man, like how has
bollocks huge balls?
Yeah, how have we gone from and like you know. Poch is just saying, like, you know, that you know, we're together as a team, and he's like crying, and he's just like, this is just amazing for all of us. And like, I just don't get
how it's happened.
Do you know, like, over the summer, that like, it's just gone to shit.
You know what it is, though, don't you? Basically,
gear.
That's a fucking massive compound.
Too much gear.
There's a massive gear issue at Tottenham. Like, literally, like, wraps are going around like fucking confetti.
Just after training.
They bought loads because they thought they're going to win the European Cup, but now,
dying out of it. Like they're basically getting, like, before training, they'll be sitting there, and Danny Rose will go bigger, and Lucas Moura and Harry Kane, fucking, at least you mentioned it. Let's get in the box right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Hezis Perez is there.
And you know, and the problem with Tongan is he don't touch it. Yeah. Does not touch it.
Do you know what that problem is, you know?
Tongan is holding up a mirror to all of the fucking massively ravished cocaine heads we've got in our football club. Harry Winks is the worst.
Like, Hezis Perez is there going like, you know, normally it's like, oh, can you get the cones out, get the balls out? He's like, Winksy, get the fucking baggies out, boy.
Yeah, get the baggies out,
just, like, puts them in the corner, like, all down the line. And they're like, halfway through the game, it's like, oh, just smash a line away, bosh. But what I think...
Oliver Skip comes up and goes, oh, that's a lovely connecting right there. That's beautiful, boys.
But I feel like...
And Dombele literally walks in and goes, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, yeah, just, like, picks his head up, just literally just, like, covered in cocaine.
It's just like
probably, Dave Chappelle sketch. When he's like white face,
he's got like dust all over him,
chisel dust all in his beard.
Pochettino walks out of the training room, the tactics room, and he's just hands covered in cocaine, like he's holding two pound bags of flour.
And the tactics board's just like the supply shipment, just like a route laid out, like just Colombia on one side,
numbers, local numbers,
yeah. And in training, it's like cartels, like they have different cartels on each side. But yeah, basically, I feel like our football club at the moment is Lads Holiday, which was the Champions League run. So we went to Malia, like a couple of lads got their end away, had a lovely time, load of gear, saw DJ EZ, fucking loved it, lovely. It was mental. But when they come home, Holiday Blues have kicked in fucking massively, and they're still not quite over it. And it is like when you're on Lads Holiday, you come back, you're sick, and you feel like shit, and it takes you a few like weeks to get back, and then you've got this like Holiday Blues. I think we're just in a bit of that mindset. We just need to get out of it.
But one of them's got AIDS.
Definitely. For definite.
One of them's got AIDS, and they're all a bit worried because they're waiting for their test to come through.
Yeah. Sorry, Poch can't come in for training. Why? Oh, I went to Falaraki and like got chlamydia.
I've got AIDS. No, AIDS. I said AIDS.
We said AIDS now. If he goes back on that, he's weak.
Basically, they've got to wait for their STI test to come back, and then we'll be back in the game.
Yeah. Nice.
I think we haven't like solved this.
Yeah.
Ryan Sessegnon didn't go. He didn't go. He couldn't go on Lads Holiday. No. Didn't have the ID.
Couldn't get his mum to sign his like form.
Yeah, to go. So, Ryan says he's got to come back in for Rose, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Lo Celso, obviously, he's been up a month before he's ready. But.
And again, like with Rose, I mean, he has been, he's been one of these cult heroes, and we love what he stood for. And he's, like, you know, been at Tottenham for years. And he's been, last season, putting in some great performances. And this season, it's like watching someone old that you love that just like they're just
not my dad.
Yeah,
slowly falling apart.
Yeah, exactly, and you just can't do anything.
Have you written a will?
Yeah.
Seriously, have you written a will? Because I don't know where it is. If you haven't, we're fucked. All right. Where's the will, Dad? Go on. So that there's no basis in truth from what I just said.
One thing that I do want to I can't remember if it was spoke about last week, but I don't know if it's a rumor, if it is true, like Delhi dropping all his sponsorship deals and all that, like
no more boohoo.
He wants to knuckle down. And I was watching again, God man, I'm such a fucking loser watching these highlights reel of Delhi and all these cheeky little naughty flicks and these little step overs, mugging people off and just like looking for passes.
Got to get it back in you.
If he gets that back, and that, you know, the front three of, like, we have Son, Kane, Delhi, that the cheeky kind of going around the sides and looking for passes where no one's really going. And if it's every time when we had that, when we had the front four of with Eriksen in there, and every time one of them wasn't firing on cylinders, we didn't, as a front unit, attack with any kind of aggressiveness or have that ingenuity to go forward and look for those passes. And now, because like Eriksen, we just got to remove him. If Delhi finds that spark back and it can ignite with Son and Kane, and we continue, I think we'll be all right. I just think it just needs that, you know, when the at the end of the barbecue, like the you can see the embers, and you just got to give it a blow, you just got to be a bit tender, get the card.
There you go.
Loft it, and then the flames will come back again.
A little bit of coal.
That's it.
Just before we break, we're going to do some questions in the second half, but who do you reckon the main plug is in the squad? Who sets up all the deals?
Maybe it is Skip with the Rice Lip connection.
Yeah, Rice Lip boys. Yeah. Don't fuck with him.
Yeah,
because he's quite an unassuming. Like, he just probably rocks up in his, like, Fiesta XR2i to training and the boots fully loaded with his duffel bag full of gear. Like, he's all right, boys.
Do you know he's like, he does look about like he's 37.
Yeah.
Despite him being like 19. Yeah. Maybe he is 37. They just keep him around because he's got all the connects.
Talk!
That I put down in words. Rick, we're playing Watford. Going the weekend?
Yeah, definitely. Going to smash those Hornet cunts up.
Fuck them. Elton John loving little cats.
Quite like Elton John. Yeah. You know, there's this song called Your Song?
Yeah.
Do you like it?
I love it. It's a great song.
It is a
good song.
We've got some questions coming in. I did something I don't usually do and added your @ to the tweet because I just thought it. People will be more responsive to that. And you woke up, thought you'd done a racism or something.
Yeah. I thought I'd like phone pocketed a photo or something like that.
Yeah, I thought I'd accidentally supported a Bulgarian racist support team.
Yeah, terrible
nightmare. Turns out it was just some like lovely questions.
There are some lovely questions. Barley says, "Is Watford a shithole?"
Well, growing up in Luton, having a lot of Luton Town supporting friends, it sort of drilled into you that they're the enemy and that Watford's an absolute cunt hole.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say yes.
As a man who comes from Luton and a man who comes from Milton Keynes, I'm going to say neither of you are allowed to talk about anywhere else.
What?
Well, they're two of the, like, if Great Britain had two arseholes, it would be those two.
It wouldn't be Milton Keynes, mate.
Why?
Absolutely not.
I went to Milton Keynes once.
do you remember you came to pick me up?
Netherfield.
Yeah.
Explain Netherfield.
Oh, my God.
It's just an estate that's made out of corrugated houses.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a temporary estate, but they just kept everyone in.
Yeah, it's still there.
You just stay. Out of all of our players in our squad, who most likely live in Netherfield?
Oh, that's a good question, actually.
We know the answer.
Oliver Skip. We could just move Netherfield to Ryslip and it's done.
Yeah.
Netherfield is like, if you've watched The Wire, it's like Hamsterdam.
Yes.
That's what it's like.
Yeah.
Just absolutely. All vacants with like crackheads and it's like, it's horrible. It's got its own laws.
It would be tricky getting up in the morning.
Yeah.
In Netherfield. Any listeners who come from Netherfield?
Chill
I doubt they will because does it have electricity?
I don't think so.
You certainly can't get Wi-Fi there.
No.
We're poverty shaming. This is not very nice, is it? Mr. WP, he says, who would you rather have for the next 5 years, Kane or Poch?
That's quite hard, isn't it?
I am going to go for Kane.
Really?
Why? But when he was being interviewed yesterday, I just couldn't stop staring at the screen thinking, don't ever leave. Like, I love you so much.
Yeah.
Like, he
We can get another manager, can't
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
We can't get another Kane.
No, if he goes,
yeah.
like, you can't replace someone scoring that many goals, creating that many goals,
yeah.
has that drive on the pitch, and like, I just... I love him so much.
Did you ever hear the TalkSport interview where they got that Geordie on talking about Mickey Quinn?
No.
And
he's got so many.
He's talking and he was going. He goes, "Yeah, just Mickey. If you remember him, Lagarde, you miss him, do you?" And he went, "He scored so many goals!" Starts cracking. I might find the audio and cut it into this. It's so fucking funny. And they're just cracking up. What about you, John Boy?
I think I'd also go for Kane because I used to look at Liverpool when they had Gerrard, like homegrown player, comes through the academy, like lives and dies for the shirt and is like feels like he's part of the fans and part of the club.
Mm.
That's something that you like not many clubs have ever had. So we've got it and we've got a number 9 who's fucking bangs goals, creates goals. He's England captain. He's probably going to break the England record. Like, it is what, as a young kid, when you grow up watching football, that's all you want. You just want, like, the striker to be the best player.
Yeah.
And he's ours. So, yeah, Poch is amazing, but ultimately, if you have a Kane, you can't ever let him go.
When your chips are down at that time, you just know that he's just going to be like, get that ball,
well,
kick off again.
Our chips are down.
And you watch.
He touched the ball 4 times against Brighton.
You watch, he's coming.
You've got to get it to
Kane
him.
Kane is coming.
I used to be of the persuasion that Pochettino was the be-all and end-all at Tottenham. But evidently he isn't. Like, he's fallible like anybody else. And Kane cannot be replaced, really.
He can't.
So, yeah, I think we're unanimously saying Kane.
Yeah.
Player coach. Can he do that at 26?
And he can do anything he wants.
Yeah. Oh, my man! Oh, my man! Mr. WP also says, can we sign a forward so Kane can be the playmaker he loves being? So would you be partial to seeing Harry Kane playing number 10 and thus buying a forward?
I still want Kane
up top.
Yeah. I still want him up top.
Yeah, I don't mind the idea like we were talking about in the first half of like in some sort of front three conundrum. Like,
well, you see what he does in England, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sterling,
I
mean, and Rashford.
I often find when if we are playing two up top and Son's quite close to him or even Lucas as well, that they kind of take his space and then he drops deeper and deeper and deeper to get the ball, and because they're in front of him, it's just a bit like he's not lost, but he's trying to work. But
well, when he drops,
how can you work when there's when people are in your way in front?
What about like Harry Kane as a cheeky false nine? Second question: what is a false nine?
It's just like a nine, but they just go a bit deeper. That's all I worked out. Basically.
I like saying false nine because it makes it sound like you understand football, but I don't really know what it means.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how they're different. My understanding is that false nine a little bit deeper.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, it is.
Do you know what though? Like,
what's a tracheuesta?
It's that thing where they cut your throat so you can breathe out your airways. If you've been stung by a wasp or something, they slice it, stick a pen in there.
One of them, innit? Like, out of all the things that could happen, all the things that can happen to me, I really hope I don't have a tracheotomy.
Yeah, that is the worst. I was watching.
Not the biro. Please don't stick a biro in me.
Yeah, give me the Bic. I was watching Anaconda the other day, and it happens in there. And that's why it was on my mind.
Really?
Bloody good. I mean, it's a terrible film, but.
You have seen that a lot in films, but I reckon the percentage of people that actually perform a tracheotomy is minimal.
Yeah, oh, gotcha.
What does Kane have to do to make other fans love him? He is widely hated, but it's because he's so good.
Yeah,
he's so good, and plus everyone hates Tottenham. And he's like, so what are you going to do?
He does love a little dive dog, though.
Well, you know...
Would you call Harry Kane a diver?
No.
I would say I wouldn't call him a diver, but I would say that as any striker, they look for contact because they know someone's going to be coming in behind them.
Yeah.
They know that
they're winning. They're winning penalties. Yeah, he's not diving, but he's winning penalties.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I don't
want
other fans to like him.
Same.
I love the fact that they hate him.
Yeah. Same.
Although he is like really nice. I don't understand. It's just purely about his ability.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever had a player that does create such sort of hatred and frustration in other teams, maybe.
Yeah, we've never had a player who's this good.
He's like England's captain, isn't he, right?
Yeah.
But he's like loathed because of what?
Yeah, because he won the Golden Boot at the World Cup.
Yeah.
But he's loathed because one of them came off the back of his heel that he didn't know about.
Yeah.
And he scores a few penalties. As you see that stat the other day, that since 2014, when he broke into the squad, it's who's got the most Premier League goals. And Kane's like 15 ahead of Aguero.
Yeah.
And if you that's with all penalties removed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bang.
Much more to that. Halloween draws closer. What's the worst ever single performance from a Spurs player?
Wow.
I think Kirakesh.
Oh, yeah.
Kirakesh against Liverpool, is it? I can't remember. He had a couple of horror shows. Gilberto.
Yeah,
I think it's against PSV in the Europa League. That was up there.
Carl Norton, I think, was it his debut? He came in and had an absolute howler.
He had two really bad performances. I think Hilario Gomez against Stoke.
Oh my Gomez God. He's got to see. Yeah.
Fuck.
Doherty, every time he put a shirt on.
Yeah, just Gary Doherty. Yeah. Raziak, who had absolute horror shows.
Sissoko's early performances were fucking terrible. Yeah.
Hard to defend.
I love him now, but early doors, I was just used to laugh. I was like, this is so terrible.
I think Danny Rose's first half performance against Arsenal in his Premier League debut, if you removed that screamer, he was
really
terrible. He got substituted at half time after scoring that goal.
I don't even remember.
Yeah.
Remember the goal?
Yeah, oh God, yeah.
Oh, what a goal!
Anywhere, you crazy
debut!
We should do the commentary of football from now on. When the club folds after this weekend,
this is
from Sam Cornish. He says, will the pod continue? Yeah.
Could just find like a Sunday league team and just like talk about them.
No, still talk about Spurs.
But just make up the results. Yeah. That'd be quite good.
Absolutely.
So we just have a script. It's a bit like wrestling. Yeah. Just like talk about it like that. It'd be quite fun.
A championship manager just running. Yeah.
Congratulations, we won the league for the 19th year in a row. What? Thanks for joining into Fighting Cock this week. See you next week for the Champions League final again.
How proud should we be as a club after the success of the first NFL games at the new stadium? That's from Mark Clough. The weird thing is, and I saw an interesting article about this, is that our social media rightfully was very quiet about the NFL stuff.
Yeah.
There was some stuff out there, but they didn't celebrate it in the way that perhaps they wanted to because of what happened previously.
There was one Instagram post welcoming.
Was it that?
That was it.
Yeah. I mean, that's good. That's. I mean, they understand. I always think there should be a complete Twitter blackout, social media blackout after a loss.
Yeah.
2 days before you post anything. Absolutely anything. And if we're coming off a loss, none of that countdown to game day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't announce the squad.
Yeah. And I don't like the previous, like the stats. Oh, we're playing Villa this weekend. We haven't lost at home to Villa since fucking 1972. Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And then like the looky eyes or whatever. Yeah. Nah, mate. Just don't jinx it.
If Emirates offered THFC a naming rights deal worth $100 billion quid, but the stadium had to be called the Emirates Mark II, would you take it?
God,
fucking hell!
It's like
it's £100 billion. Of course, you'd fucking take it.
Well, yeah. Why not? And like the Emirates isn't Arsenal.
Yeah,
it's a sponsor.
Yeah, but I mean,
no, don't.
You'd say that.
Just principle.
Yeah, that's it.
So I'm principle, but not for £100 billion. I'd be like,
what if it was like JVC? What if it was like the Sol Campbell Stadium?
Oh, no.
£100 billion. No, it would solve every issue we'd ever need. We would have everything we want.
It's too much.
It's £100 billion, Rick.
Yeah, I know, but you know.
The Sol Campbell Stadium.
You've got to have integrity.
And Tottenham lift the Premier League at the Sol Campbell Stadium.
Oh, God, I feel sick.
Oh, that is so rank.
Simon Rabello, he says, what do you think of Jack Rowles perhaps in rotation next season, considering Ericsson might leave? Simon, this isn't the extra inch. What do you want from us?
Yeah.
We don't know.
Who's Jack Rowles?
He's some guy who's in that. They're called the Wizard. Wizard of Cambridge United.
Really?
Yeah. Listen to Wendy's youth update last week. They love him, apparently.
Yeah, he's doing really well now.
We'll put him in. Bring him back. Get him back.
Starting.
Ben Ericsson out. Yeah. Fucking get on it.
Thinking about that, the lad at Leeds is not getting a game because of... loads of loans and stuff.
Yeah, loads of loans, not good enough.
We're going to bring him back in Jan?
What? Yeah, why not?
I'll bring him back for a laugh.
Just get him playing.
Like, is he good enough? I mean, who knows?
He might like coke, though, so there's plenty to go around. What? Get him in. He might like coke.
Yeah.
Get him in.
Bang into coke. He's got. They sent him back up to Leeds again. I mean, you know the etiquette around here, right? Yeah. Either you fit in or you fuck off. Go up to Leeds, find a dealer, come back when you've got your habit secured. Yeah. If you've had an erection... in the last 3 weeks, don't come back. If you've kind of clumsily fumbled around while watching porn trying to get an erection, then you're going to fit straight back in today. Dennis the Menace, he says, does anyone else miss going to the old stadium and taking up their old seat? Not sure for how many seasons I can handle the bell ends in the new stadium.
Wow.
Strong.
Do you miss the old stadium? I do, a lot.
Yeah, of course I do.
That doesn't mean I don't like the new stadium.
No. I mean, I kind of liked that drinking at the bell and, like, kick-offs in 2 minutes, sprinting around to Park Lane and just going straight through that turnstile and getting in there. The kind of the queuing up and security checks and blah, blah, blah. It's a bit of a faff, really.
Yeah, I don't understand the security check at the bottom of the stairs and then you scan your tickets. Yeah, what's that about?
Yeah, I don't know.
Crowd control,
against
Bayern Munich, I had your ticket, didn't I, Rick?
Yeah.
Your dad's ticket. And I'm like, it's not working. It's not buzzing. And I'm like, Rick, what's going on? Like, I'm not going to get in to see this incredible game. And I was buzzing the season ticket from White Hart Lane.
Yeah.
And then I was trying to buzz the season ticket from Wembley.
Yeah.
And then I realised that it was a I've just the wrong season.
Mate,
I have the same card in my wallet.
It's not your fault. Why on earth my dad has season tickets from previous, like, just in case he needs them?
Yeah.
Sorry, you can't get in. Oh, you got this season's season ticket. No, we need the Wembley one. Why would that ever happen, Dad?
Rick,
get it out your wallet.
Well, I love the fact that your dad has more or less given up on Tottenham.
Oh, mate.
What's the reason?
He's really annoyed because he can't believe that... he can't believe that Tottenham didn't make his son, but his dear son travelled to first of all to Alicante, and then drive 4 hours with David Alfie Ward up to Madrid, stay there, and then two flights home and all that. And we didn't put performance in. And if you aren't gonna turn up for a European Cup final, when do you turn up?
Right,
and it's over now. And I was like, Dad, right. And I was explaining to him, right, and we were walking down Park Lane from Northumberland Park, and we're having this discussion, and he was, like, really pissed off and stuff like that. I'm like, Dad, like, how old are you? And he was like, I don't know, he's, like, 65 or something like that. Like, when was your first game? He was, like, 9 years old or something. And I was like, how do you not know that this happens virtually every season? Like, you'll get that there is a glimmer of, like, a triumph somewhere along the line, but... more often than not, we come up short, and then we go again next season. It's just the way it is. This is Tottenham, and it's like every season, it's like, this is it. Line in the sand, I can't do it anymore. I can't do it anymore.
This kind of chance of glory has affected a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like my dad, I've mentioned on the pod, he used to be the guy who said to me, don't worry, gal, we've got next week. Yeah. We still Spurs. He's a wreck. He's a fucking... I can't chat to my dad about football anymore. If we lose, I avoid him for about 3 days because he's going to make me feel worse.
I remember...
what's happened to him?
At the... me and my dad, like, routing the old Art Lane. We used to go for, like, a fry-up, rough him around the ground. And when I was younger, and it was, like during the 90s, and I'd be chatting to him, I'd be like, oh, man, like are we going to beat Sheffield United today? Yeah. Like, is Nathan Blake going to run riot? Like, I don't know what's happening. And he'd be like, Rick... just think, you could have been born Northampton Town. You could have been born blah, 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 but you were Tottenham. And it starts reading all this, like, all the honours off and what we've done and all that. And I'd be like, yeah, I'm puffing my chest out. Now...
Tottenham have broken our dads.
You can't even mention the name Tottenham. Broken. Yeah, exactly.
They are lesser parents because of Tottenham now. Tottenham has broken my dad. And I think on that point, we'll end.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, John Bass.
Pleasure as always.
Got a new podcast coming out, haven't you?
Yeah, Streets, Grand Don't Come For Free on Notorious POD.
I can't wait. Just guest.
Yeah, we had Genesis Elijah, so UK hip hop heads will know him. Mm. Pretty good guy, and he does a great job of going through the streets second album.
Rick, anything to promote?
No. Good. Nothing.
Good.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock!
A camel turnum!
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.
How personalized can a financial plan be when it's created by one of those robo-advisors?
Plugging in standard algorithm to calculate insurance need and future wealth of random human client.
Robots don't know you. We do. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, getting to know you always comes first. Together, we'll create a financial plan based on your specific goals. Find a local Farm Bureau advisor at fbfs.com/protect. It's your future. Let's protect it.
Sports Social Podcast Network.